Hey, we're back with episode number 56 of the Brick House Podcast, Matt.
Just being as casual as usual. Hey, we're back.
I'm Bob Johnson.
I'm Matt Baker. Bob, last time we sat down at the old table and talked some basketball, we didn't talk a whole bunch about the playoffs because the playoffs weren't really that interesting. It's Wednesday. It's been a week and a half. The playoffs have gotten a lot more interesting.
The heat has turned up in here. Yeah. It's finally gotten going. Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And I want to talk a lot about the playoffs this episode. I want to talk about Dwight Howard this episode, but I feel like we can't really bury the lead. The Brick House team of the year just got a new future ex-head coach, Matt. And it's pretty exciting. His name's Dave Joerger. And he got a $16 million contract with the Sacramento Kings this week.
Joerger's so interesting to me because last year, like during the regular season last year when he was the coach of the Grizzlies, I'm talking about 2014, 2015, I couldn't have told you who the coach of the Grizzlies were.
Right.
But then you started hearing these stories about how Joerger was a hot commodity. Like the Timberwolves really wanted to sign him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he interviewed with them or something and ended up going back to Memphis. So then now Joerger's on the radar of, this is a hot coach. People want this coach. Grizzlies fire him. Like, this is interesting. Where is he going to go? He went to the Kings. Okay. Sure.
Yeah, I started doing some research on Joerger, and the general consensus seems to be that he took the Kings job because he has earned mediocre pay his entire career. He came up in the ranks of the IBL, mm-hmm. which, actually, tell you the truth, Matt, before yesterday, I had never heard of before. Yeah, he was a coach in the IBL for 8 years, maybe the CBA, a couple of other, you know, much lower tier professional basketball ranks, right? And then he got his job with Memphis. He was assistant coach under Lionel Hollins,
right,
and then became the head coach with Memphis. But this was before Phil Jackson came to the Knicks and just turned the tables on inexperienced coaches' salaries by offering Derek Fisher $25 million.
Yeah.
Derek Fisher and Phil Jackson are basically the coach equivalent of Tristan Thompson's contract from this past summer. It's the new bar that any agent who's worth his weight is going to use as an example. My coach is better than Derek Fisher, yeah. Clearly.
In John Wall's case, it's Reggie Jackson.
Right. He'll never let that go. Yeah. Vivek Ranadive sent his private plane to Memphis to pick up Joerger.
Mm-hmm.
Then they flew to Nebraska to pick up the wife and kids, and then into Sacramento for the interview.
And his wife and kids don't even live in Nebraska. That's the crazy part.
They're out there shucking corn for extra bucks because the Grizzlies are such penny pinchers.
Yeah.
The whole irony is that Joerger and his people felt like the Grizzlies were not capable of competing in the National Basketball Association. And legitimately, this is from an Inquisitor article I read. They didn't like the way the roster was being built. He was really upset about the trade deadline trades of Jeff Green and Courtney Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Because of injuries, they set a record of having 28 players play at some point during this season,
right,
and playoffs. But the idea that they don't trust the competency of the Memphis Grizzlies, so they're going to sign with the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
I find pretty funny. Pretty funny statement, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's one thing to say you like the roster better, but
right.
Yeah, but if you to say you like the competency of management, you want me to read the list of names that were in the Kings coaching search?
Oh, please,
here?
Please. I mean, well, we might have to edit it for time to keep it under 4 hours.
Kevin McHale, Frank Vogel, Tom Thibodeau, Scott Brooks, Kenny Atkinson, Luke Walton, Sam Mitchell, Vinny Del Negro, Mike Woodson, David Blatt, Mark Jackson, Ettore Messina, James Borrego, Henry Bibby, Patrick Ewing, Mark Jackson, didn't already say him? Nate McMillan, Jeff Hornacek, Corliss Williamson, Jay Larinaga, Brian Shaw, Ime Udoka, Jeff Van Gundy, and Monty Williams all drawing Sacramento's eye at one point or another.
One thing I was thinking Jaeger and his people might be thinking is the turnaround with the Kings is so great, and if the guy just is trying to make up for lost time coaching in the IBL and making $25,000 a year or whatever it was, sign a 3-year deal with the Kings, and then after inevitably 1.4 seasons, get fired, get paid the rest of that contract, yeah, and, you know, casually search for your next job or wait for an opening that's more favorable on a better team.
That is true. Either way, he's getting paid the most he's ever gotten. So. Yeah.
Well, let's get caught up on the playoffs. We do love the Sacramento Kings, but these these playoffs are starting to heat up. Let's give everyone an update. The Cavs, first off, beat the Hawks 4-0. That's the first series to end in the semifinals.
Finally, we're playing like pick and pop, drive and kick. All these things that they have, all these three-point shooters, these things that they weren't doing during the year, that a lot of LeBron ISO ball or things like that.
Yeah, they're setting and breaking all these team three-point records that I have been assuming would all be held and unbeatable records by the Warriors,
right,
with Thompson and Curry throwing in, you know, sometimes 20 three-pointers a game.
Yeah.
Apparently what happened is Ty Lue had a little pep talk with Kevin Love. Did mm-hmm. you hear about this?
No, please tell me.
The headline was that some of his words were straight out of Pulp Fiction. He told Kevin, "You've got to be more aggressive. Tell LeBron, I'm a bad motherfucker too, so throw me the goddamn ball."
Wow.
And since then, Kevin Love has been on a tear. He's actually shooting 44% on threes, only 29% on twos. But he's made so many threes these playoffs so far.
Yeah.
28 out of 63 three-pointers. His true shooting percentage is at 51.
So 3.5 a game.
Kevin Love has never lost a playoff game in his career. He has swept the Celtics in the first round last year, injured in game 4 by dastardly Kelly Olynyk.
<Yeah. laughs> Ruining Danny Ainge's hopes and dreams.
Yeah. So there were some close games, but not a single loss so far for Kevin Love or for the healthy trio of Kyrie, LeBron, and Love.
And everyone was saying Kevin Love couldn't get the Timberwolves to the playoffs. Boy, were they wrong. He's a playoff legend.
Not only that, with this ball movement, J.R. Smith has turned into Ray Allen.
Oh, yeah.
The only beef I really have with Kevin Love was after sweeping the Hawks, they asked him, you know, what he was going to do until the next series, and he dropped a Game of Thrones spoiler.
Oh, no.
Matt.
No.
He said, you know, well, I'm looking forward to going home and watching Jon Snow.
Is that a spoiler? Everything I've been watching has been talking about Jon Snow.
Despite being free mostly of fantasy and magic, there are elements of it in Game of Thrones. Matt doesn't watch, for people who are just tuning in for the first time.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were only 3 episodes, and he was going home to watch episode 3. This is a very fragile thing.
Yeah,
know, people are pretty, this is important stuff, but at this point, pretty much everybody, I think, is watching them as they come out.
Right.
Some other crossover media stuff. J.R. Smith and Ben Simmons are rumored to also maybe be in Space Jam 2.
What a that's a great Monstars right there.
It is a coincidence, or maybe not, since Matt and I follow the underworld of the NBA and the people pulling the strings.
Yeah.
J.R. Smith and Ben Simmons share the same agent as one star of Space Jam 2, LeBron James.
Oh, okay.
Bugs has got CAA. You know, he's got Ari Emanuel.
Eric Bledsoe needs to get on. How do we get Bledsoe in the mix on this, too?
Yeah, Bledsoe, Tristan Thompson, Mark Jackson, Johnny Manziel.
Is John Wall on there? Where's John Wall?
Oh, John Wall. He just joined with Clutch Sports, too.
Manziel. Is there like a Monstars for drinking? Is that the Manziel character?
Yeah, he could be the drunk buffoon. They need one of those. Yeah. Or maybe he could be the Bill Murray golfing with the guys with the umbrella hat, you know?
Right, yeah.
The other series out east still going on is Toronto and Miami. They're also the latest victim of the NBA injury curse this year.
Yeah, but they're
both
also...
Both of them.
Yeah, but Toronto's also a victim of Lowry and DeRozan shooting like 20%. I know losing Valanciunas is really bad, and I feel bad for them, but they're getting almost nothing from their guards.
Both of the bigs for the teams are out. Whiteside and Valanciunas both got injured in the same game four.
Right.
But it has been some pretty exciting games. Dwayne Wade actually has a quote that says, "I don't know how much tighter your butt cheeks can get than this series." Let's move on to the next series. The Warriors lead the Blazers 3-1. Draymond Green had 7 blocks in game four.
Yeah.
While being in foul trouble most of that time. Steph Curry went untouchable White Walker on everybody. That's a Game of Thrones reference, Matt.
I gotcha. I mean, I gotcha, yeah.
After starting off 0-10, everybody's heard this by now. Yeah. 17 points in overtime, 27 in fourth quarter and overtime combined.
That was insane.
I actually told my friend in Oregon, Anders, who's a big Blazers fan, I was, you know, just being boisterous. I was pretty upset about the Clippers losing in the playoffs, obviously.
Right.
And I said, if the Blazers have a game six, I will go to Portland and buy you a ticket to the game.
Oh, wow.
Which would be this Friday, but that ain't going to happen. Although it was pretty damn close in that overtime game.
We'll find out tonight, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Actually, Draymond Green, apparently after game four, goes into the locker room, tells his teammates, "Okay, guys, let's not give him any bulletin board material."
Wait, what?
We don't want him having any extra reason to come out and beat us next game. And all the teammates just stare at him.
Yeah.
They're like, "You're the guy giving him all the bulletin board."
Yeah, didn't he say something after that? Like,
and
Portland,
then he did, yeah.
Portland is done?
Yeah, someone asked him, like, "Do you think Portland's done?" He's like, "Of course I think Portland's done."
Yeah.
You're asking me.
Yeah, but in his defense, in Draymond's defense, he didn't see any bulletin boards in that room. So he takes it literally. He thought it was literally going to go up on the nearest billboard.
The most exciting series for me in this semifinals has been the Thunder and the Spurs.
Game one, Spurs win by, what, like a million? 40?
Yeah, and game one, the Spurs had 39 assists.
Wow.
And they haven't had more than 19 in any of the four games since then. And they also blew 2 double-digit leads this entire season.
Yeah.
And have done so twice in the last 2 games to Oklahoma City. Last night, they did not get a defensive rebound after 6 minutes and 6 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. A defensive rebound.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Pop was asked about Donovan and how he's done in this series. Pop's answer was, "I'm sorry, I didn't realize the series was already over."
Ooh.
Steven Adams is getting pretty quotable as well. I saw him saying, quote, "Of course cake is not bread. Is this why Americans are fat? You confuse cake with bread."
I saw that too. That was great.
But for our main segment on this week's episode of Brick House, Matt, I had been anticipating the TNT Inside the NBA postgame show to the Thunder-Spurs game almost as much as the Thunder-Spurs game 5. That is because I had heard that one Dwight Howard was filling in for fellow Superman Shaquille O'Neal, who we learned a few weeks ago now shares the same agent, Perry Rogers.
Right.
It seemed like he was clearly trying to make a case in a last-ditch effort, since he's not playing in the playoffs, for why he is a max player. And from the NBA Reddit discussion threads, a lot of people seemed pretty convinced by Dwight. Listeners should watch for themselves if they missed it on TNT.
Yeah.
But Charles and Kenny, it's been called an intervention. They asked him directly, "Why do you think people don't like you?"
Mm-hmm.
He smiles and because he likes to have a good time.
Yep.
But when they're winning, that's fine. But if they're losing, can't smile, he gets criticized for that. But if he doesn't smile, then he gets accused of being disengaged.
Right.
Kenny and Charles had ways of trying to ease him into the criticisms that they make on a pretty much nightly basis about him.
Right.
Charles said he was on the back nine of his career. Kenny said stuff like, you know, if your teammates won't throw you the ball, ever thought about, I don't know, rebounding? Dwight, while wearing a mauve suit, found his way to make his best case scenario offer to a team to hire him. And it inspired me to make a ranking of Dwight Howard's likelihood to play for each NBA team.
This is great.
This summer, Matt, the salary cap space for all 30 teams combined is over $1 billion.
Like unused cap space?
Unused cap space of all 30 teams combined for next season is $1 billion.
Wow.
So one of these 30 teams is going to hire Dwight Howard. We got him ranked, of course, counting down number 30 to number 1
okay.
for a little drama.
Can I guess who number 30 is?
Please.
Lakers.
I didn't put the Lakers at 30. I thought you might guess that.
Okay.
I've got them further down the list where you might not expect them.
Spurs.
Spurs is exactly
okay.
right.
Okay, yeah.
And I like to go through these pretty quickly and just give comment or two about how Dwight would fit in with Team X.
I won't interrupt. Have at it.
Oh, please interrupt.
Okay.
Give me your comments, Matt.
Okay.
That's what people tune in for.
That's right.
The Spurs hack Dwight. They don't hire him. Number 29, the Minnesota Timberwolves. They have the best center in the world already. Plus, Prince would have never stood for this. number 28, Cleveland Cavaliers. He would not fit in or fit out. That's a Kevin Love joke.
Right.
Number 27, Golden State Warriors. I only put them this low because their owner, Joe Lacob, self-proclaims to be a Silicon Valley genius.
Yeah, he's like the smartest man in the world.
Yeah. And so getting Dwight Howard may be just so outside the box enough that he would convince himself it was, the right idea.
Yeah.
But inevitably, he's hired enough people that would talk him off that ledge. So number 26, L.A. Clippers.
Oh, wow.
I just put simply, they wouldn't want Blake to break his hand punching a dude in the face again. Number 25, Oklahoma City Thunder. Not sure even Dwight would live in Oklahoma for max money if Sam Presti even wanted him. And Durant and Westbrook think he's a punk. I mean, they yell obscenities at him from the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Number 24, Indiana Pacers. We saw Larry Legend in full form this week, firing Frank Vogel or not renewing his contract and publicly stating how Frank pleaded for his job.
Right.
I'm guessing the magic that Larry Legend had with Lance Stephenson being a sort of head case he could work with would not translate to giving Dwight $30 million to play basketball. Number 23, Memphis Grizzlies. These guys need everything but a center, pretty much. They have Mark Gasol locked down for the next 4 years. I mean, he may have a foot injury, and they may need a center eventually, but they're pretty much set with a franchise max player there.
They don't need any more players that their age starts with a 3. They need more 20-year-olds.
Yeah, that's probably the direction they'll go. Number 22, Utah Jazz.
Oh, yeah.
Dwight Howard actually wouldn't mind living in Utah, surprisingly, but one thing he can abide by is the former owner, Larry Miller, attempting to rip off Dwight Howard's favorite place in the world, Casa Bonita. This is all a guess, but I assume it's true.
Yeah, he's a man of principle.
Number 21, Detroit Pistons. This is awkward.
Yeah,
I was thinking this is kind of like when you run into, like, let's say Reggie Bush, right?
Yeah.
He's dating Kim Kardashian. Next girlfriend he has looks exactly like Kim Kardashian.
Right.
Stan Van Gundy's moved on. He's found a younger Dwight.
Yeah, but
his name's Andre.
Yeah, but he's a free agent too.
Yeah, but they're maxing him out. He did the Kawhi thing and let the coach get as many free agents to build a good team around him.
Right.
Number 20 on this list, after last night, Matt, when you eventually watch this entire interview with Dwight Howard, you'll think, I'm crazy for not putting these guys at number 30. But it's the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going back there.
Yeah.
That is
very clear.
Very clear, even though, despite all the efforts of Kenny Charles and Matt Weiner, he would not say he hasn't even thought about whether or not he's going to opt out this
right.
year.
It's one thing to not want to go back, but it might be another thing when they're one of the few people that offer you a contract, potentially.
Well, that's why I put him at 20, because if nobody else wants him, the Rockets
right.
will still have him.
Sure.
Number 19, New Orleans Pelicans. Like the T-Wolves, they're set at the center position for the next 15 years. Number 18, New York Knicks. Shocked to see they're high on this list, but I don't think Phil Jackson would even do it, even if it was a good idea. Number 17, Matt, here they are, LA Lakers, and I'll tell you why. They have to act like they would never, ever, ever sign him again, but their front office is so discombobulated yeah. right now, and throwing money at every free agent superstar, that if he said had some sort of inkling, they probably wouldn't sign him again, but they would have a meeting about it. And we're getting to that point in the list now where people, yeah, maybe you could see it, but you know, you got to get closer to the top five, top 10 to really see teams that
right,
could
right.
realistically be a fit with the doofy one. Number 16, Toronto Raptors. This one again, is a strange reason why it's just personally won't work out for Dwight. He confessed while working with the LA Lakers that he's a really sensitive guy.
Yeah.
And this affects his free throw shooting. He's worried that people aren't going to like him and all that. It becomes a vicious cycle in his head
right.
where it builds up so much pressure and fucks up the free throws. He also admitted that he cried during the Tom Cruise movie Jack Reacher.
Oh, okay.
Jurassic Park was at a time in Dwight's life that was really emotional for him, and I think going to Toronto would bring back just too many tough memories.
Too many tough memories.
It's just those Raptors, man.
Yeah.
They're terrifying.
They are.
Number 15, the Boston Celtics. Danny Ainge collects things that people want to trade for, and he trades for players that he wants.
Right.
This is the problem for Dwight, so.
Yeah.
Not going to go there. Number 14, the Washington Wizards. This I think, could happen.
It's intriguing.
I think this would be like the Knicks signing Amari Stoudemire after years of thinking it, you know, LeBron James would come to them in 2010.
Right.
You know, LeBron loves New York. He's always wearing Yankees hats. He's obviously going to come to the Knicks,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
Oh, that didn't work out. Well, let's give a max contract to Amari then. Oh, they won't insure his knees? That shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, it's all guaranteed.
Moving on. Philadelphia 76ers.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that they should be higher on this list. They have more cap space than anybody, except maybe the Lakers. But half of their team plays center. And all of those guys combined don't even make half as much as Dwight Howard.
Right.
So they're going to be trading away centers.
Yeah, yeah. They
not
don't,
four centers.
They don't need more centers.
Number 12, Phoenix Suns, Matt. Can you believe it? Dwight Howard might be going to the Phoenix
Suns.
Oh,
man, I can't believe it. And I don't, I, sure.
This
I don't
is want. This is how I see this happening.
Okay.
They're lost at sea, and this big, goofy dude may look like a rescue boat to Ryan McDonough. He's suffering, man. I think he's got, like, severe delusional heat stroke, and, you know, he could see Dwight Howard and maybe
it's an oasis.
See it as a way out.
Yeah.
I bring this up because I also wanted to tell you about how Alex Len almost got lost at sea this offseason. These NBA players flock to tropical destinations as
right.
soon as the season ends. And he was out swimming with his friends in a rainstorm. And sure enough, the tide pulled his friend out, and he went swimming after him. Brave as it was, they're both dead now. No, that's not true. Alex Led saved his friend. Good job.
Good job.
Number 11, Chicago Bulls. They have a cheap owner, but the whole team could be different by next year, and this team could be blown up.
Right.
The rumors of Jimmy Butler wanting out, wanting to go back to Thibodeau. Joakim Noah's probably gone. Derrick Rose, he'll be there.
Yeah. The one constant.
Number 10, we're starting to get into possible territory here. Denver Nuggets.
Oh.
They've also got a ton of cap space.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
I think Mike Malone has shown that after working with Boogie Cousins and having some success with him, maybe he could be a guy who could be the Dwight Whisperer.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, that's a good one. I like that one.
Number 9, Dallas Mavericks.
They've kind of always wanted him for some reason.
Yeah, I think Chandler Parsons and him had the former agents together, Dan Fagan. And Parsons has said that they would like to have Dwight. I think Cuban said they would like to have him, but not for a max deal. So maybe that if he actually does value winning, as he said in his TNT interview, that he might do that. However, my prediction is that Dirk would announce his retirement 15 games into next season, sort of like Kobe. You know, it's just like, yep, this is my last year. Except that would be his last game. 15 games of sharing a locker room with Dwight and Chandler Parsons. Yeah. He's done.
Yeah.
He can't handle that.
Of course.
This next team has been in the top three on a lot of people's lists, but I find that short-sighted. The Charlotte Hornets. Charlotte Hornets have been rumored to be up there on the list of potential fits, but I don't like it for a particular reason having to do with Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan, yeah.
We've already broke news that Jordan avoids drafting Duke players because of his North Carolina ties.
Right.
In fact, wouldn't even trade 7 draft picks so the Celtics could get Justice Winslow.
Yeah. He not only doesn't draft him, he tries to prevent other people from drafting him.
Another thing Michael Jordan likes, the almighty dollar.
Yeah.
And Nike.
Ooh.
And Dwight Howard is with Adidas.
Oh, no.
Not on MJ's team.
Not on his team.
Number 7, Miami Heat. I don't really see them signing him, but I just feel like
old Riles might get up to something.
Yeah, the Riley Mafia is unpredictable, and they get whoever they want. Number 6, Brooklyn Nets. I know they have a new GM straight from the Spurs, but they're still owned by a Bond villain.
Yeah.
And Dwight Howard is kind of an NBA villain with the shit-eating grin.
Got to keep all the villains together.
Number 5, the Orlando Magic, Matt.
Ooh, this would be a candidate for people to be higher on the list, I think.
The Orlando Magic, yeah. I mean, the reason I don't have them higher is even though Dwight might want to go back there because he has the fond memories of the time when he was still liked and being voted into the All-Star game starter on a consistent basis. But I think what sets it back is Scott Skiles, similar to Game of Thrones. They have trial by combat. Scott Skiles challenges Dwight Howard to a potato sack fight. And I don't know if you're familiar with potato sack fight, Matt. That's where you get a giant potato sack and put 2 men in it until one man emerges as the victor. And you know who I'd never fucking bet against in a potato sack fight?
Scott Skiles.
Scott fucking Skiles. Dwight Howard may be strong, but he's not winning in a potato sack fight with Scott Skiles. Number 4. Number 4 on the list is the Milwaukee Bucks. These guys, I think, are probably similar to Joe Lacob, where they're Silicon Valley guys, and they think, you know, they can tinker and you know, be smarter than everybody else and figure it out.
Right.
Unlike the Golden State Warriors, they're not the greatest team of all time, so they might actually try and tinker.
Yeah.
Number 3, Portland Trail Blazers. This is a team that I think is a dark horse to actually sign Dwight. Paul Allen certainly has deep pockets, and they're set in the backcourt with McCollum and Lillard, but could use a guy like Dwight. And he is not a bad player. We like to give him a lot of crap because he's not doing what he was doing in Orlando. But he's a decent player.
Right.
And I think that they might actually go for this. Neil O'Shea is a smart guy. Yeah. I don't know if he'll give him the max, but another team that if he actually wanted to win, this would be a team that he could do it at. And they totally overachieved this year, and another all-star, former all-star, could have helped him win that game four against the Warriors.
I don't hate it.
Yeah. Who do you think number two is, Matt?
Oh, I've been trying to keep track of all the teams in my head, and I've been failing.
Number two is the Sacramento Kings.
Oh, yeah.
This is what is echoing in Dave Yeager's head. He doesn't sleep much in Sacramento. It's just echoing in his head over and over again is, I didn't think Memphis knew how to put together an NBA basketball team. I didn't think Memphis knew how to put together. This will drive him mad.
Yeah.
He's working for Vlade Divac now.
Yeah. You start writing on the walls and...
The number one team, Brickhouse predictions to sign Dwight Howard as the Atlanta Hawks. Cue the worst I'm coming home montage in all time the perpetually disappointed Atlanta Hawks fan base.
The saddest I'm coming home montage there is. Do they bring Josh Smith back for a big family reunion?
Oh, Josh Smith it's a package deal. It's like Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly and Step Brothers. All right, well, let's go through some quick hitters from shit in the past 10 days in the NBA I thought was funny. Iman Shumpert revealed in these new little Vice Sports videos they do on YouTube that his favorite cartoon character is Johnny Bravo.
Huh.
In fact, it's the inspiration for his hair. This is what Shump had to say about JB. Nobody ruins his day. He's always going after a girl, and if she doesn't go for him, he goes to the next one and doesn't let that shit affect his day. He doesn't say, yo, I'm going to go run up on this girl. No, he straight up skips across the street and tells the girl, do the monkey with me. Johnny Bravo say, do the monkey. You hitting the monkey straight up.
Sure. Whatever that, yeah.
The executive of the year voting results are in, and R.C. Buford of the San Antonio Spurs won.
Right.
77 points. The close second was Neil O'Shea of the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting in the fact that Buford's biggest offseason acquisition was acquiring LaMarcus Aldridge. And O'Shea acquired a lot of players to make up for the fact that he lost LaMarcus Aldridge. And both ended up 1-2. Sam Hinkie actually got 5 points, 1 second-place vote and 2 third-place votes for number 11 in the Executive of the Year voting results.
How'd that happen?
Same amount as Sam Presti. I think the flightless bird was just getting a send-off from those few executives that are in his corner.
Godspeed.
Doc Rivers was awarded 0 points. 0 points in the Executive of the Year.
I award you no points.
Voting results.
And may God have mercy on our souls.
I have one segment that I've named Matt Barnes has got your fucking Mother's Day card right here.
Man, I've been during this podcast, I've been looking at articles about this story. This is something.
To catch people up, if you're not in the know, Matt Barnes on Mother's Day posted on one of the social medias a picture of Gloria Gavan, his ex-wife, and their kids, and said a happy Mother's Day. D-Fish, a little later in the day, posted a different picture of Govan and the kids on Facebook, said, hope you've enjoyed a nice, relaxing day today. You deserve it. Happy Mother's Day. I saw this, and I was writing notes for this podcast and wrote, I can't wait to see Matt Barnes' response to this.
Yeah.
Not 30 minutes later, Matt Barnes responded on Instagram, although he didn't really say it was a response. He said it was a public service announcement. The post on Instagram was, people will disrespect the fuck out of you and then play the victim when they turn up on they ass.
Okay.
The public service announcement says, this is my page, in case any of you were confused, which means I'll post what I want to post. But my kids are off limits. You come for them, and I'm coming back for you. Don't care if you're male, female, or Obama. Plain and simple. Stick to the script, and we good. Now y'all have a great week in life. And then he has some asterisks. This post has nothing to do with Derek. It's it's to all of you thumb thugs out there that are Mike Tyson online and then silent as a church mouse in real life.
So it has everything to do with Derek.
It has everything to do with Derek, but we can also thank Matt Barnes for introducing the term thumb thugs.
Thumb thugs.
For the internet trolls. Yeah,
that's pretty
it.
Great.
I don't know how Matt Barnes types on a computer, but I normally only use the thumb for the space bar, personally.
Yeah.
I'm not the perfect typist either.
Yeah, yeah. You're no thumb thug. I know you. You want to be thumb thug. Fisher took Barnes' wife and the kids to Angry Birds.
That son of a bitch.
I know. When you think about it, though, Barnes and Fisher are just a couple of Angry Birds themselves.
Let's do the fastest diss of the week ever.
Yo mama is so fat!
Matt, you sent this over to me. Someone tweeted, keeping people posted, that the Houston Rockets will interview Kenny Smith this week. And then Scott Howard, 42, on Twitter, simply retweeted and replied, "For what?"
Yeah.
Thought that was hilarious.
That was a really good one. Yeah.
On the next episode of Brick House.
All right. Well, we can't wait to talk more NBA playoffs on the next episode. But also can't wait to tell you not about the casting for Space Jam 2, but a hypothetical casting of entirely Cleveland Cavaliers players. Pulp Fiction 2.
Oh, wow.
And seeing as Ty Lue is dubbed Kevin Love a bad motherfucker, I assume he's got to play the Samuel Jackson role.
Of course.
He's already got a Jerry Curl.
Yeah.
And this would make LeBron James, Marcellus Wallace, Kyrie is obviously Vincent Vega, Gilbert is probably Tarantino. This is a better idea than Space Jam 2, and I just came up with it. So you're welcome, Rich Paul. You can find us at Brickhouse Pod. Soon coming website, BrickhousePodcast.com. We're going to have blogs, all the pods, funny pictures, good times. Good times all around by everyone.
Funny pictures. Sure.
Yeah, I'll edit that out. Can't promise funny pictures. That's so subjective. But tweet at us, Rich Paul. Talk to you soon, Matt Baker. Thank you.